Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Bill Timmerman and I are talking with Congressman Alan Grayson. We started talking to him a couple of weeks ago, and we wanted to finish up the conversation because he had much to say. We talked about health care in the last program. This program, we wanted to start off with a question about jobs, and I'll go to Bill for that. Congressman?
Yeah.
What's with this deficit reduction mania when so many Americans, 14 million of us by official Bureau of Labor statistics measurements, are without jobs? What do you think we should be doing to get the country back to work?
It's worse than that, actually. It's 23 million Americans if you count the people who are only working part-time and the people who have been discouraged and can't find work and have given up. So 23 million Americans cannot find a full-time job. What we've done for the past literally 30 years is we've tried to stuff money into the pockets of the rich and multinational corporations in the hope that maybe they'll use that to hire people, and it just doesn't work. I mean, there's no reason why it would work. I have a lot of business experience, and I can tell you that in business, businesses maximize their profit. They don't hire people just because they have extra cash laying around. That's absurd. They hire people when they can make money off of their work. And at this point, they find that they can make all the money they need by hiring fewer and fewer people, and by taking many of those jobs and moving them overseas. That's what we've been seeing since Ronald Reagan was president, and in particular in the past 10 years. The result of that is that we have a continuing and, at this point, chronic unemployment problem. Ironically, it's the right wing has brought about what Karl Marx called the reserve army of the unemployed. There's always unemployed people out there, so the result of that is that people in jobs feel insecure, and they can never reasonably expect any wage increases. More and more of our money goes to dividends, more and more of our money goes to profit, more and more of our money goes to interest, and less and less of our money goes to wages. These are statistics that are out there, and for all to see, the Federal Reserve distributes them at least every year. And that's what's really been happening now for a long period of time. In the past 10 years, for instance, there are 27 more million Americans than there were 10 years ago. That's a result of births, obviously, migration, net immigration, and so on. 27 million more Americans than there were 10 years ago. 10 years ago, of course, all the 14-year-olds are now 24 years old, and they're in the labor force or trying to be in the labor force. And the private sector today, after 10 years of massive population growth, has 1 million fewer jobs than it did 10 years ago. And this is after a $700 billion bailout, which I voted against, by the way. It's after the Fed handed out, according to the Government Accountability Office, $16 trillion in hidden bailouts to not just domestic corporations, not just domestic banks, but even foreign banks. That's $16 trillion of our dollars handed out by the Fed. And by the way, nobody elected the head of the Fed. Nobody did that. And in many cases, the Fed's decisions are colored by the Wall Street bankers who actually sit on their boards.
Well, let me ask you this, Congressman.
Let me just finish my point.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
After all of this, after all of these tax breaks, and after all of these public contracts, and after all these subsidies, after all of that, 1 million fewer jobs than before. So people say, well, what's the answer? The answer is what Roosevelt said the answer was, which is to hire people. You know, a tax break to a business is not a job creator, nor, for that matter, is anything other than a job. We've reached a point now where we have two choices. There are the only two realistic choices. We can have the government hire people directly and do the jobs that need to be done and pay for that their salaries with tax money, or we can let them go to hell. And that's where we are right now. I favor the first option.
Why can't the private sector get us out of this hole, Congressman?
I think the private sector can't get us out of this hole for a number of reasons. One reason is that there literally is no particular reason to think that the private sector would ever employ 100% of the working population. The private sector employs the minimum number of people the private sector needs to employ in order to manufacture those soft drinks, in order to produce those haircuts, in order to deliver those packages. The things that need to be done created by consumer demand in the American economy, and no more than that. People are surprised to hear that in a population of 312 million, which is the American population today, we have only barely over 100 million people in this country who actually have a job. And there's no reason to think that the private sector will magically produce jobs that exactly equal the number of jobs that are needed for full employment in America. That's never been the case. I mean, John Maynard Keynes pointed that out 75 years ago, and it's about time that we learned that lesson. So when there is a shortfall in demand in the private sector, the only way to put people back to work, the only way to do it, is to hire them.
Well, do you think that the president's plan is making a start on that?
Well, it's better than nothing. I mean, honestly, what is the Republican jobs plan? It's the same as the Republican health care plan, don't get sick. It's the same as the Republican food stamp plan, Soylent Green. They have no plan. They have no idea what you could possibly do in order to put 23 million Americans back to work, and they're proud of it. They're ignorant and they're arrogant. But in the case of the Democrats, President Obama has proposed a plan. I support it. I think it's a step in the right direction. But it has virtually nothing in it that involves hiring people. The largest part of the plan, in fact, more than half of it, is simply extending two things that we're already doing. One of them is to have a reduction in the payroll tax, which is meant to somehow give an incentive to somebody or other to hire people. I mean, all of these plans seem like Rube Goldberg plans to me, if you know what I mean. And the other part of this, which has already been enacted into law and the president's just trying to extend it, is to make sure that unemployment benefits go out to 99 weeks for those people who are unemployed. Those are things that were already in the law. The president is simply trying to extend them for a year. I don't regard those as being job programs. I regard those as being tax and benefit programs. As for the rest of the package, there's $70 billion of pure corporate welfare in it, which I'm definitely against. And there's $140 billion of infrastructure spending and state and local aid, which is a reasonable thing to do and will, in fact, create some certain number of jobs, but not as many jobs as would be created if the government actually hired people.
Well, it seems to me that if Treasury bills are now paying zero interest, that the government could manage to scrape up enough money to invest in a real economy and get things started. Like you say, go right out and hire people. But it's not as though these deficits are actually preventing that from happening.
Well, of course. I mean, the obvious sign of an overheated economy when the government is borrowing too much money is that interest rates are sky high. That actually happened to us when Jimmy Carter was president. There's nothing like that happening now. Interest rates are on the floor. I mean, there was a short time a couple of years ago when you had to pay the government money in order to borrow money from the government. We actually had negative interest rates for a short period of time during the crash. The government didn't have to pay you to get your money. You had to pay the government for the government to hold. And that is a sure sign that the economy is not overheating. We have massive amounts of unemployed capital. We have massive amounts of unemployed labor. We have massive amounts of unemployed resources of all kinds. And those resources have to be put back to work if the economy is ever going to recover. And there's basically two ways to do it. Again, Keynes laid this all out 75 years ago. It's not a mystery. You have fiscal policy, which is, essentially borrowing money. And you have monetary policy, which is essentially printing it. And these two truisms have been obvious to everybody who's been paying any attention to economics now for three quarters of a century. You know, when I was in Congress, I was, as far as I know, the only member of the House who had ever actually worked as an economist. I worked as an economist for several years before I graduated from law school and then went on to prosecute war profiteers in Iraq. And I will tell you that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. I felt that, that knowing the, just the basics of economics, as I did because I had the job, it gave me an enormous advantage in understanding what was going on as compared to everyone else around me who couldn't see it at all to save their lives. I mean, it really is the land of the blind up there when you're talking about basic principles of economics. And these are, I mean, basically every major economist who is an honest person will tell you right off the bat that the problem that we've been having in America since 2008 is that there's not enough demand. We have the ability to supply $14 trillion worth of goods and services in America each year, and we have a demand for only $13 trillion worth. So either the government makes up the difference or we have a new Great Depression. That's where we are.
You were one of the most successful businessmen in Congress.
Yes, I started a company in the 1990s.
$20 billion
public,
worth?
Now. And is traded now on the New York Stock Exchange and has $2 billion a year in sales.
Well, Congressman, let me ask you about another great progressive congressman, our own Arizona Congressman Raul Grijalva, who's co-chair of the Progressive Caucus in the House. We're going to have him on, interviewing him later on in the year. He's a great great friend of ours, and I know he shares a lot of our views on things. Did you work with him when you were in the House?
Yes, we were both members of the Progressive Caucus. He became the chairman of the caucus. I was one of the vice chairs of the caucus, and I think he was really one of my friends. It's very hard to get to know your congressman. It's easier to get to know a congressman if you're another congressman. And I want the people in Arizona to know how fortunate they are to have somebody like Raul representing them in Congress. He is a kind soul, someone who genuinely cares about other people, and B, someone with a conscience. He is a remarkably consistent fighter for the middle class and for people in need, not just in Arizona, but all around America. I remember the first moment that we met. It was an interesting moment. I went to a meeting of the Democratic Caucus. I didn't realize who he was at the time, but I saw a gentleman in jeans, denim shirt, a bolo tie.
It is Arizona.
sort of beat up work boots. And this is in a room where there are an awful lot of people wearing suits and ties.
Congressman, we have 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Anything you want to add?
Hi, I'm Alan Grayson, the congressman from Florida. And he said, hi, I'm Raul Grijalva, the congressman from Arizona. And I realized at that point that he was making his own rules, and I respected that. He didn't feel compelled to wear the blue shirt and the red tie. But he has done so many good things for the people in his district and throughout America. He is a paragon of virtue, and I really respect and admire him. I hope to have a chance to work with him again.
Thank you very much for coming on Democratic Perspective. Good luck on your race. We know you're running again.
Thanks. If people want to sign up for our emails or make a contribution or see our videos. And by the way, we had the most watched YouTube channel when I was in Congress and the most watched video of a congressional hearing ever. In one of our hearings, 5 million people have downloaded and seen that video. It's all at congressmanwithguts.com. That's congressmanwithguts.com, the very modestly named congressmanwithguts.com. And I invite people to come and see what we've done and what we hope to do in the future.
Seems like you had a lot of fun when you were in Congress, some of the bills and stuff. Thank you for being with us. Folks, you can listen to all our podcasts at what's the
www.vvid.org, and you can comment, you can contact us. All the contact information is on there, and you can listen to all of our broadcasts as podcasts or subscribe to them through iTunes.
You can actually call us, although we're usually napping, so we'll answer your call later. Thank you for being with us, Congressman. If you want to rehear the congressman's interview, go on to the website
www.vvid.org.
Well, that's about all we have today. It's beautiful.
Go on out and enjoy the sunshine. Enough politics for this morning.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.